Sim.
Olá, Anifis.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yes. No, there was a technical problem.
Oh, we are here. We are here. Goeiemôre, goeiemôre.
Morning, 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 members. Apologies, apologies.
Morning.
Technology failed me this morning. I was on the app from 9 o'clock, so I don't know why it was not allowing, but IT has sorted it out. Okay, I'm going to join.
Fine, but let's again take up location. Sound demand, let's again again.
Who's eating chicken so early in the morning? That's where the comorbidities come. You must have cereal with honey and nuts and stuff like that.
Chicken licking so early.
Mankina. They're in Tiny, they have Mankina.
Mangina.
What is it, Nazir?
Mangina.
Hey.
Walkie talkies. It's for the vote. And the local economy.
Good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, good morning.
Mr. Singh, you're looking nice and fresh.
Yeah,
I'm always fresh, man, because I come from fresh stock. How are you?
Very good, very good.
I see I'm connected. Did you all have a problem?
We all had a problem.
Are we having the meeting then? Because the plenaries have started as well.
No, I mean, we must have our meeting. We're going to speak about rubbish today.
I know we are going to speak rubbish. All right, I'm going to hang on then. I'll just set them to something else. Thanks.
Hey, ma'am.
Yes, I think we can start the meeting now.
Why are we not starting?
No, I'm saying we can start.
With the chair.
Chairperson is not able to join us this morning. There's load shedding in East London.
You?
That thing still persists.
Apparently.
But you know the problem is in Eskom, your substations are failing.
All right, let's start, colleagues. We don't have much time. I'm trying to check here who is here from the department. Can we get a direction who's leading the delegation of the department?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. It's the DG. The DG is leading the delegation from the department.
Chair.
Oh, Honorable Paulson, good morning.
Good morning, Chair. Chair, just before we get to the department, we've got Open the agenda says open remarks, apologies, adoption of the agenda, consideration and adoption of minutes of previous meeting. So are we going to leave that for last?
Oh, I was not aware it's being flagged. It's fine. Let's follow the agenda as it is being flagged. Let me check first if we have an agreement. So we follow the agenda as presented. It says there opening remarks, apologies, adoption of the agenda, consideration and adoption of the minutes of the previous meeting, briefing by the department on the update regarding the functioning of the Waste Bureau to meet its mandate of planning and implementing all waste streams as well as progress in the waste fire management.
Chair, can I just put in an apology for Honourable Phillips? She contacted me to say that she unfortunately got the time of the meeting wrong and she's flying at 10 o'clock, so she's unable to attend.
All right. Perhaps let's take further apologies, colleagues. We note the apology of Honourable Phillips. Are there other apologies that must be registered? We'll take the apology of Honourable Klasa due to load shedding in East London. Are there other apologies?
Chair, I received an apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. They are attending the NCOP budget vote debate.
The apology of the Minister and the Deputy Minister is noted. which tells us why the DG is leading the delegation. Do we have a quorum, Chileka?
Yes, Chairperson, we do.
Thank you very much, colleagues. I had not prepared any opening remarks. My remarks would be that we apologize on behalf of the chair due to load shedding. And we take it that the agenda has been adopted, or perhaps let's get the mover for the adoption of the agenda and the second.
Chair.
Honorable Mbata.
Morning. I think because the department is here, let's shift the issue of the minutes to be after the department's presentation, because they are already here. We can't say they must excuse themselves. Then after we continue with the with the issue of our minutes. Based on that, I will move for the adoption of the agenda.
Honourable members, there's a proposal that we deal with the adoption of the minutes as a last item after the briefing by the department. Can we end the mover for the adoption with that amendment? Can we get a seconder?
I second, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Singh. Without further ado, can we then request the DG to deal with the presentation as flagged by on the screen? DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to good morning, Chair, and good morning to the honourable members. With me in this session is the head of the Waste Bureau, who is currently acting, Mr. Obert Baloyi. And also the DDG of Chemical and Waste Management, Ms. Mamohala Musekeni. So with your permission, Chair, I am then going to request the acting head of the Waste Bureau to take the committee through the presentation, which we have prepared in line with the request on the item on the agenda. Thank you, Chair. Can I allow then Mr. Baloyi to go through the presentation?
Sure, let's do that. Welcome, Mr. Baloyi.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable members. The presentation basically will give an update with regards to the Waste Bureau, the functions, and how we are doing with regards to pursuing our legal mandate as per the Waste Act. There is four items that we will present as the presentation outline. The first one will talk about the legal mandate as described in the Waste Act. We will talk about the waste tire mandate, how we got to be involved in the tire waste tire management, and also just talk highlighting the operational performance and some of the challenges that we are facing. And then we'll conclude with the key focus areas and initiatives that we are undertaking in this current financial year. Starting with the objectives of the Waste Bureau, the National Waste Management Act in Section 34D describes or outlines what the objectives of the Waste Bureau is. The first one is that the Waste Bureau should function as a specialist implementing agent. It should promote and facilitate minimization, reuse, recycling, and the recovery of waste. It should manage the disbursement of incentives and funds, monitor the implementation of industry waste management plans, progressively build capacity to provide specialist support for the development and implementation of municipal waste management plans and capacity building programs. And finally, also to support and advise on the development of waste management plans, the tools, instruments, processes, systems, norms and standards, and municipal waste management plans and capacity building program. That support should be provided both to industry and local government. On the waste tire mandate, the minister previously had approved the REDISA plan, which was in compliance with the requirement of the waste tire regulation, where industry had to develop a tire waste plan to manage the waste tires in the country. And REDISA then submitted a waste tire plan, which was approved and then being implemented. There were then challenges with regards to the implementation of that plan, which led to the withdrawal of that plan. And then the promulgation of the waste tire regulations in 2017. With the withdrawal of the REDISA plan, the Waste Bureau, which the law allowed that they can act as an implementing agent for industry waste management plans, was then given the responsibility to manage the waste tires on a temporary basis. This is as an interim, because there should be an industry waste plan that should be developed and implemented after the REDISA plan was withdrawn. The minister then did ask for the tire plan to be developed, but the two submissions did not meet the requirements. And so the Waste Bureau has since been continuing to implement the waste tire plan and being involved in the operations for the management of waste tires in the country. The function of waste tire management plan was taken over by the Waste Bureau from the 1st of October in 2017. And the key priorities is basically servicing the tire dealers and other collection points where waste tires are generated. We need to develop processing capacity. That is basically making sure that the tires that are generated as a waste are processed instead of ending up in only storage sites. And we're looking at tire-derived fuel, at cramming, and also pyrolysis. And the last key priorities for the Waste Bureau with regards to waste tire mandate is to make sure that the tires that are collected from the dealers or from the generators of these waste tires are supplied to the waste tire processors. Next slide, please. On to the progress on the mandate with regards to all waste streams. As I indicated, the objectives of the Waste Bureau, as per the Waste Act, is basically to look into all the waste streams and also supporting the municipalities, local government, with regards to their functions on waste management. So what we're doing with regards to our preparation to undertake the full mandate as outlined in the Waste Act. One, we are continuing to focus on the waste tire plan for this financial year. Minister has asked the CSIR to develop the industry waste tire plan in accordance with Section 29 of the Waste Act. So that once that Section 29 industry waste management plan is finalized and the implementer of the plan have been appointed by the department, the Waste Bureau would have to exit the waste tire management operations and then refocus on the broader mandate as outlined in Section 34 of the Waste Act. It is envisaged that the Section 29 Industrial Waste Management Plan would be finalized in this financial year. So that goes to say that basically by the beginning of the new financial year, the Waste Bureau should be completely out of the operations for the waste tire management and focus on the other objectives that are outlined in the Waste Act. The objectives of the draft industry waste plan are basically to support the establishment of a viable waste tire processing sector in South Africa, which will reduce the negative environmental impacts of waste tires and support enterprise development and job creation in a circular economy. We'll come back to this point on waste tire processing shortly. Or the next objective of the draft industry waste management plan is to develop that tire processing capacity in South Africa, and finally also to develop monitoring systems to enable assessment of progress against the targets that we are setting with regards to collection and collection and processing. The minister had instructed that the department should institute an evaluation of the need for the Waste Bureau, given its current mission drift and budgetary constraints. The mission drift, as I indicated, happened because there was a gap with regards to the implementation of the waste tire plan when the register plan was withdrawn, and there was capacity within the Waste Bureau and allowed by the Waste Act to be able to act as an implementing agent of the waste tire plan. Next slide, thank you. With regards to the waste tire value chain, we have the generators of the waste tires, then we have the primary transporters, the storage, sorting and pre-processing facilities, and then we have the secondary transporters, and then we look into the reuse, the recycling, and the recovery of the waste stream. On the sources of the waste tire, would be the tire dealers, the transport companies and some mines as well. And we currently have on our register about 2,655 of those. Now, some of the waste tires end up being illegally dumped, maybe in the, on the environment, on some of them. But some of them would be also on the landfill tanks. And we then move on to the primary transportation of those tires. First of all, where it is illegally dumped or found on the environment, we have micro collectors. Who are mainly waste pickers. They would collect those tires from the environment or landfill sites, and then they will send those tires to micro depots. And currently, we have on our register about 147 micro collectors, and then we have about 18 micro depots where these waste pickers send their collected tires to. We have primary transporters that collect both from the tire dealers and the micro depots. And on our register, we have 55. The primary transporters, as they collect from the dealers and the micro depots, they will then take them to the depots where basically the tires are being sorted. In other instances, there will be pre-processing. Of the tires, pre-processing, for example, the shredding of the tires, the cutting into smaller chunks, the baling so that there is more space created. Then there would be secondary transportation. On the depots, we have 28 around the country. Then we would have the secondary transportation. Of the waste tires from the depots to now reuse, recycling and recovery facilities. The secondary transporters on our database, we have 23. And the reuse, recycling and recovery facilities that we have are currently registered. We have 8 who are processors, and we also have secondary industries that looks, for example, in making of jungle gyms, parks, racetracks, and the number that we have on our register is 14. Honorable members, so that is the value chain with regards to waste tire management in South Africa, and that is what currently the Waste Bureau is involved in managing. I indicated that we have 28 depots throughout the country. This is the map indicating where the depots are located. You can see that we have the majority in Gauteng. Maybe let's move on to the next slide, because the next slide then gives the details. Thank you. The location, as you can see, I mean, majority of those depots are in Gauteng. Then you have most as well in the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal. We only have one in the Northern Cape. We have 2 in Free State, and we have 2 also in the Western Cape, 3 in Mpumalanga and 2 in Limpopo. As you may see, they vary in sizes with regards to capacity to be able to store the waste tires. And the reason, obviously, we have a lot in Gauteng is because there's a lot more tires that are generated in Gauteng, and we needed that that storage. So in brief, that's where the location of the different depot, which are our storage sites, are located throughout the country. This is the detail that follows the map that just showed where they are. Thank you. Next slide. Now on to the performance. Since the Waste Bureau took over with regards to the implementation of the plan, starting from October 2017, that was basically the first year. At that time, we did not set targets, we just took over. And you can see that the collection in tonnages on the 5 6 months, we had about 46,726 tons collected. And that is starting then from the following financial year, we needed to set targets on the collection. Our target in 2018-19 was 83,000, and the collection rate was over 122,000. And in the financial year 2020, we increased to over 100,000, and we collected over 130,000 tons of waste tires. And in the year, in the financial year 2020 and 2021, the target is 74,000, and the performance was 93,000 tons of waste tires collected. The next on the same slide, and then we look into the operational performance with regards to processing. So as I indicated, I mean, we collect the tires from the waste generators, with the dealers, and then we put them in a storage facility, which are your depots from the two previous slides. What is important is then what happens to those tires. And this is where we have a bit of a challenge with regards to the processing. So answering then what happens with the tires that have been collected, which must be either reused, recycled, or recovered. As you see on the tonnages on processing, on the financial year where we took over on the 6 months from October to March 2018, the collection was 46,000, but only 18,000 tons were processed. To the next financial year, over 122,000 tons collected and only 53,000 tons processed. The next financial year, over 128,000 tons collected and only 37,000 tons processed. Then the last financial year collected over 93,000 tons and only processed over 22,000 tons. So that is basically where we have a bigger challenge currently with regards to the establishment of the processing capacity. And that is why the draft industry waste plan that is being developed by the CSIR, their major focus is how do we make sure that we have sufficient processing capacity in the country. Currently the Waste Bureau, we're looking at different options to be able to unlock the challenge and finding solutions on the processing capacity. We have had, when we started as the Waste Bureau, we went out to get facilities that are interested in processing other tires. And they came in. We have contracts with some of the processing capacities, but some of those facilities never were online. Some of them are using way less tonnages than what they should or that they are contracted to be able to process. And that's exactly why we have such low processing capacity as indicated. We have, over the few years as well, we have lost processing capacity. Some have stopped because of non-profitability. Some of them, their licenses expired, and some had contractual disputes. So those are some of the challenges that we're looking into. How do we help the facilities to be able to stay online and assist us with regards to their processing of waste tires? Since last year, obviously the COVID situation happened worldwide, and it also affected with regards to the profitability of some of the processing capacities. I mean, one is that we're trying to assist to stay afloat because economic-wise, they have taken a big toll, and basically they're striving to be able to stay online. So COVID has also contributed to some of the processing capacity being reduced, particularly for the previous financial year. Next slide. Now on to the key focus areas for the financial year that we are currently in. One is to try to expand the storage space. As you would have seen from the previous slide, we are collecting a lot more than we are processing. So we do need some storage facility, some storage space. What we have been doing, we have engaged provinces and municipalities to be able to assist with storage sites, like unused municipal sites, looking at storage of waste tires at landfill sites. And we also are looking at other public entities that could be able to assist us with regards to provision of space where we can be able to store the tires that we have. We are also at the same time looking at baling equipment. So that baling equipment basically would compress the tires as they are collected from the generators. They would come in hold, and when we bale them, obviously we then decrease the capacity and the need for huge storage sites. So what we're looking at is to get the baling equipment working, procuring that baling equipment and also get it working so that we do reduce the need for the storage space. The next thing that we have as a key focus area with regards to tires, and this is the most important one, is the increase of number of processing plants and the capacity in the country. This obviously would, when we increase the capacity to process the tires, we will then eliminate or reduce the need for storage space, because some of the tires, for example, would be able to go directly from tire dealers to processors without having to go to tire depots. So that would be able to assist us in reducing the pressure with regards to the storage space requirement. So what we're looking at, particularly on the increased processing plants, is one, we're looking at brick making facilities. We're looking at skills training for secondary industry to be able to uptake the waste tire products. We're looking into whether we can be able to export waste tires where we have a pressure and where we cannot be able to process it in the country. So the first priority, obviously, is that if we have processing capacity in the country, we need to use the tires inside the country. But where the capacity exceeds our processing capacity, we need to look into other alternatives, and the alternative can also be to export. This will be for the good, obviously, of our own environment as well. And the last one, which is also important, is to promote the downstream demand for tire-derived products. We're looking particularly on road building. So we're looking at Sandral getting into negotiations with provincial roads, municipalities as well, and also the school playgrounds could be able to use tire-derived products to be able to establish their facilities. So and obviously increasing the downstream demand would automatically increase the processing capacity, because one of the challenges as well with regards to processing capacity is that you may have the processing capacity, but the tire-derived products, there is no market for those. And that then leads to the non-profitability of some of these processing facilities. I think that is all with regards to what we needed to present, and I thank you, honourable members, for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Baloyi. Can you kindly flag the agenda, Chilega? I suspect it is now time for engagements.
Q&A.
Yes, can we note hands, colleagues, for discussions and questions? I see the hand of Honorable Paulson. Can we?
Chair, Honorable Bryant, my hand's not working. If you can just note my question as well.
Let's just note your eye, Honorable Bryant. All right, you'll be the second. Any other takers? Okay, whilst they're still thinking and checking their notes, Honorable Paulson.
I'm here, Chair.
Your hand is also not working, Honorable Mbad. All right, let's take Honorable Paulson, Honorable Bryant, and then Honorable Mbata.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'd like to look at the financials and I'd like to know what it cost in terms of the design of this plan, the implementation, and also in terms of what do we get in return for these recycled tires, and who are we selling them to? The products of recycling, who are we selling to, and what are we getting in return? Is it I think that's very important. That we know what the financial state of this program is. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Paulson. Honorable Bryant.
Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson. I've got a few questions. The first one is, mention was made of tire-derived fuel, but I didn't see much more of this later on in the presentation. I just want to know a little bit more about this, you know, potential for deriving fuel from the tires, and also how far along the process is, and, you know, where the fuel is going to go to. Is it going to be sold? How is that whole process envisaged to take place? Then in terms of the Section 29 Waste Management Plan, I don't know if I heard correctly, so if the presenter can maybe just confirm that he said it would be complete by the beginning of the coming financial year. If you can just confirm that in terms of how far along that plan is. Then one of the other questions, which is a very important one, is in terms of prosecutions for dumping and non-compliance. I know a lot of this gets left to the municipalities to have to police. But this is a serious challenge, I can tell you, particularly in my constituency that I looked after in Delft, where and surrounding areas, we have dumping of tires all over the place. And in terms of steps that the department is perhaps taking to assist in terms of prosecution, in terms of non-compliance and dumping. Two other quick questions. The first one is in terms of the tire levy. I have raised this in a parliamentary question, and I think perhaps there was a misunderstanding in terms of this, but the tire levy obviously puts a certain amount of pressure on people who are involved in the vehicle industry and the tire industry itself in terms of disposal of tires. I just want to hear from the presenter whether or not this is something that has come up as a point of concern from people within the industry in terms of, you know, their own limitations now when it comes to the dealing of dealing with tire waste. And then this is a very, very, very important one. In terms of the depots and the sizes of the depots, I'm quite taken aback if one compares the size of the combined depots in Gauteng, which I've done a quick adding up of, comes up to around 127 and a half thousand square meters of depot space for tires in Gauteng. We then have the next, biggest or a very large part of the country with one of the biggest, the second biggest metro, the city of Cape Town, the Western Cape, sitting with 24,000 square meters, over 100,000 square meters less than Gauteng has. And only one of those sites is located in the Cape Town Metro, and it's located in Atlantis. Now, if you know anything about the city of Cape Town, Atlantis is at the furthest northern corner of the city of Cape Town Metro, which makes it incredibly difficult for people to go and transport waste, tire waste there. And, you know, the northwest and Limpopo even have more tire processing space than the Western Cape does. So, you know, I think this is something that's very, very urgent priority. And I also want to know, you know, why is it that the department can't currently use municipal drop-off sites and have those accredited for the collection of tires? If those sites already exist, surely that would make sense. Because what is happening, and I've seen it firsthand, I've visited these places in Delft, where you go to areas and there are piles and piles of dump tires, and you speak to the guys and you can almost understand why they're doing it, because they can't drive these things themselves to Atlantis if they're not allowed to drop them off at their local drop-off facility. Honourable Phillips has asked if I can just ask two questions on her behalf as she's not present. She's just asked in terms of what can be done to incentivize people to take tires to recycling depots as opposed to burning them to the source, major air pollution in many of the landfill sites, especially in Rustenburg. She also said Rustenburg got a MIG grant of millions to set up a new state-of-the-art landfill site. The money has been spent, but all there is currently is the hole in the ground that was donated by Anglo Platinum and a contract company trying their best to manage it. All the buildings for upcycling, reusing have been vandalized. There's a settlement of people living there trying to eke out a living when they should have been employed in a safe environment. That is the Rustenburg landfill site. And she would like to know if this could please be put on the agenda when we do visits to some of these landfill sites going forward. Okay, sorry, those were quite a few questions, but I think they're very important, and I would like to request that where possible those get answered now, otherwise in written format. But if we could, seeing as we only have one item on the agenda, if we could try to get those answers today, that would be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bryant. I believe that they are all noted. Honorable Mbata.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everyone, and thank you, Mr. Baloyi, for a good presentation. It's very impressive, I must say. From the look of your presentation, it's really impressive, and it shows that there's a light through the tunnel. The first question that I want to ask. But I've noticed the backyard industry, tire industries, which is mushrooming, for example, around Marabastad, around Pretoria West and so forth, where the up and coming businesses are making money out of it. Have you tried to look at those backyard tire industries, because at the end, those tires, when there's riots, they end up being burnt on the, in our streets, and it is causing air pollution. That's very important. And the other thing is that you find that in most of those mushrooming backyard tire industries are not from South Africa. They are not South Africans. That's the other issue that I would like the department to look at, so that we don't have the problem we have, like in the copper issue, where in most cases it's unlicensed and so forth. The second question is the empowerment of the youth in some communities that I have seen taking the initiative of building or designing the furniture from this used tires. And it's part and parcel of the youth or the community empowerment, just to make sure that they are reusing this tire, used tires. But my question is that how do you empower them? Have you empowered them? And if not so, how can you support them so that we have more of this furniture being sold to us? In most of the corners, you'll find them that they are selling. Others, you can use it even for outside in your lapa, or some can be used as the furniture. Let's prioritize those youth and give them support. The other one is also, don't forget, the other thing that I've realized when I'm establishing the homestead backyard food gardens, where there's no yard to plant, we usually use the tires, the used tires, to use it as part of the garden, and we plant on those tires. We put soil and plant of those in those tires. We've done that in one of the VDs in my ward, it's the RCP houses, and it's those plants, those vegetables are growing very well. So that's the other part and part of the of recycling of the used tires. Let's also look at that and see how best can we utilize those, even at schools where they don't have the space for food gardens. The other thing is that I don't know, you haven't talked about the departments being part of the part of the people that are the source of the tires, because if you look at the departments, mostly they have their own what do you call it, their own areas where they fix their cars, and you'll find that you find there's oil, there's used tires and so forth of different tractors, the cars and so forth. So I want to know that, have you also tried to have a program on those departments? I'm talking from experience, because once when I was a waste management specialist and at the National Department of Public Works, that was part of the waste that we are getting from our departments that we're managing. Then the other thing is that I've seen you have talked about the tires being used as a source of when they use them, they shred them and they make them small, and they use it as a source of energy. But it's being derived from the tires. I've seen that thing they were doing in Japan. I've seen in one of the service providers that were working with us with the Department of Public Works, where they will shred and they make them small and they use it as a source of energy, which is an alternative energy, and it has less pollution and so forth. I don't know, maybe by that time I wasn't around because I went to grab some tea. That's very important. Those are the minor issues that we can use to reduce the tires that are all over our streets. But I'm very much impressed on this presentation. And I know that CSIR is the best company. I'm sorry, I'm not promoting them, but I'm saying that from experience, when it comes to the issues of waste management, they are the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mbata. I see the hand of Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson and colleagues. Good morning, and good morning to the presenters. I might have missed some of the presentation because I'm multitasking here with the plenaries and everything else, so forgive me. Chairperson, I note that the bulk of the presentation deals with the waste tire mandates. But the Bureau itself has broader responsibilities, in terms of waste management. And I don't know if I could ask these questions now and we get answers later, or there's relevance now, because if the Bureau has responsibilities to monitor industrial pollution, waste, industrial oil and other pollutants, I mean, can they at some stage tell us what is the Bureau doing in that regard with those kinds of industrial waste? Secondly, Chairperson, I live along the coast, and I think others also live along the coast, and far too often we get reports of sewage spills into rivers and into the oceans. Now, does this department work with sister departments, or does this agency ensure that there are audits done on all sewage plants in the country so that sewage doesn't flow into the seas and, you know, pollutes the beach water where people go and swim, etc.? And lastly, river pollution. I mean, does this Bureau have any responsibility? Because a lot of rubbish, as Honorable Paulson had said earlier, we're going to speak rubbish today, goes into our rivers and from the rivers into the sea. And sea animals are dying because of plastics and other waste that gets into the sea. So I don't know if this meeting is also about that kind of responsibility, or were they just focusing on the waste tire mandate? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Singh. Honorable Paulson, I see your hand is still up. You want to have another take? All right. In the name of peace, it went down. DG, I think my question should go directly to yourself. I'm not too sure if, because I heard you say that Mr. Balo is acting. Would you like to make it your business to clarify the committee on your relations with Redisa? There was a time that Redisa was all over the news. There was a time that Redisa had also written to Parliament seeking an intervention. I might not vividly remember the details of the battle between the department and Redisa. Just perhaps respond to all these clarifying questions by honorable members and perhaps try and close on Redisa, the relationship that you have. Where are they now? Are they still your agent, etc., etc.? DG?
Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members. On the questions that have been posed, I am going to respond to some of the questions. I'm also going to request the acting head to go to respond to the detail of some of the issues that the members have raised. Also the DDG of chemicals and waste management on some of the issues, especially around our role in supporting municipality and so on. Chair, maybe just to start on the issue of Redisa. And I think in the presentation, the presenter did indicate that we had Redisa, who was actually managing the tire waste on behalf of the department. However, Redisa had a plan that was not necessarily addressing what needed to be dealt with in terms of waste tire, and there was a lot of issues of inefficiencies in the manner in which Redisa was carrying out its plan. And that resulted in a situation whereby the department terminated the relationship that it had with Register. And that happened in 2017. So Register was withdrawn from dealing with the waste tires. And this then called for the Waste Bureau, which is currently now dealing with the waste tire temporarily, as already highlighted in the presentation. And temporarily, we are saying that because we have a industry waste management plan that we are being assisted on by CSIR. And that plan is still ongoing in terms of engagement. There would have been a draft plan that was actually put in place. However, there were concerns from the department around that plan not necessarily addressing key challenges that are faced, especially in the tire waste management around processing. So then the CSIR is revisiting that and is working on that plan. We are hoping that by the end of March 2022, that plan is going to be finalized. So Chair, Register no longer has a relationship with the department. The other issue that I also just want to highlight on a broader level, Chair, is that as a department, there were quite a number of challenges resulting from Register, but also in as far as the Waste Bureau. And we're currently working with the Waste Bureau as a department to look into how we reposition the Waste Bureau in order to improve its efficiencies on waste management. And I think members are very correct that in terms of Section 34D of the Act, the Waste Bureau is tasked with a mandate of managing waste beyond just the tire waste management. However, with the current challenges, it has not been able to do that. And we are also waiting for the plan from CSIR so that we implement it in totality and the Waste Bureau is able then to focus on managing the whole issues around your industry waste, but also fulfill its mandate in line with the Section 34G of the Act. Just also, I think there was a question that was raised, Chair, in relation to the budget, and maybe the acting head can deal with that in terms of the detail. Yes, there is a budget that Waste Bureau utilized to fund this operation around your waste collectors, around your micro depots, and also around your transporters, and so on. So it's an amount of about 384 million. I think that is an amount that we're looking at in the current financial year, but the acting head can go into details in relation to that. Chair, there is a question that was raised also around the rationale and the size of the depots in the various provinces. I would want to agree with the Honourable Member, I think it was Honourable Member Bryant, that there seem to have been no rationale, and that is what we are looking at in terms of the distribution of the depots. Obviously, in Gauteng, the industry is quite huge, but there should then be a clear rationale for the other provinces with huge industries in terms of the size that we have there on in relation to the depot, which we utilize for collection. So So these are all the areas that we are looking in, and in terms of the efficiency of the whole value chain of waste management, how then do we improve on that and also ensure that we don't only collect tires, because that will result in depots being full. We really need to look into how then we accelerate on the processing front in as far as the waste tire management is concerned. Can I request, with your permission, Chairperson, for the acting head to just deal with some of the questions that were raised, and also then ask the DDG to deal with the other aspects that are also within chemical and waste management. Thank you, Chair.
Who's going first, the DDG or?
Yes, the acting head, Mr. Baloyi, Chair.
Okay. Ntate Baloyi.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, DG. Just to expand on the response to Honorable Paulson with regards to the costs, DG has indicated, I mean, we're budgeting about 380 million this financial year. And that covers the aspects of our collection from tire dealers. That covers the storage facilities. I have indicated that with limited processing capacity, then we are spending a lot of resources currently on depots, which are our storage facilities. So most of the budget currently goes to the transportation and the storage of the waste tire. What do we get from what we're spending on? Honourable Paulson asked this question, and I think Honourable Bata, who raised the issues of incentives for secondary industries, particularly looking at the youth. And there was a question again from, I think, Honorable Bryant with regards to the tire levy. So the responsibility and the funding of the waste tire management in the country basically lies with industry. And the tire levy that is paid on to SARS is basically taking care of that. So we have shifted, instead of government spending money on the management of waste tires, and we expanded that to other waste streams. We think that let industry be the ones, because they are the producers of these waste tires, let them be the ones that spend resources to be able to manage the waste that they ultimately generate. So the expenditure on waste time management basically comes from the paid levy, so that we do have a clean environment in the country. We do not have tires dumped throughout. I mean, a few honourable members raised the issues where we find the tires in the environment, where they are also banned and polluting the air. So when we manage this better with the resources that we allocate, we certainly do have a cleaner environment. And I think we have done well with regards to diverting the waste tire from going onto the environment. Right now we have, yes, there is still some instances where we find them in the environment, and we need to improve on making sure that we deal with the issues of the non-compliance, Honourable Bryant, as you raised. The point on the tire-derived fuel, Honourable Bryant, we have two applications that could use the tires as fuel. One is the the energy aspect, where we recover energy from waste tires. That will be your cement kilns, the brick-making facilities, where they basically burn waste tires instead of the coal. So that's the first aspect, and it is something that we are looking into, getting into relationships with those sectors I indicated, the brick making. Now I also can indicate the cement kilns. How do we assist them in making sure that they do process waste tires and recover energy and as well assist in dealing with their tires? The other application is pyrolysis. Pyrolysis basically is extracting fuel from the tires, and there's two things that will come out from there. That will be the fuel itself. One of the challenges has been the quality that comes out, and we did talk about the issues of the skill and the technical knowledge, so that the companies that are involved in pyrolysis, they understand the issues of quality of the oil that will be needed by the fuel sector. And also they do produce black carbon that is there. So on the detail with regards to tire derived fuel, those are the two applications that we have in the country, and those are the two applications as well that we're looking in growing. The issue on the depot sizes, again, Honorable Bryant, you asked why aren't we looking at facilities by municipalities like your storage facilities. We are currently engaging with municipalities, and we believe that this will also save cost and assist in save cost on the storage that we currently are spending, as us in establishing and building capacity with regards to establishing the processing capacity in the country. So it is something that we're looking into. We have started engaging with the different provinces and different municipalities. Some have responded, have indicated where they could be able to assist us. So it is something that we're looking at. The incentives, I think I've spoken about the incentives for the collection of tires. I think Honorable Bryant, you asked the question on behalf of Honorable Phillips on the what incentives are there for people to basically get the waste tires out of the environment. We have the micro collectors, which are mainly waste pickers. That are collecting those waste tires from the environment. So there is an incentive to be able to get the environment, the leaked waste tires onto the environment back into proper management. Honorable Mbata, I did talk about the issue on the incentives for youth, the secondary industries. I mean, on our slide six, where we indicate the value chain, we do have secondary industries, and we are looking because that is where we reuse, recycle, and recover. And you made good examples with regards to how the waste tires could be used. So those are options that we are looking into, because those options will then assist us in dealing with in increasing capacity for processing in the country. The broader responsibility of the Waste Bureau, I think DG dealt with it. We are obviously, since the withdrawal of the Redisa plan, there has been a big challenge with regard to who will manage tires. And the Waste Bureau has mainly focused on the waste tires. So we have not necessarily done anything else except waste tires. In this financial year, we are working on a plan for the coming financial year. As DG indicated, we have this plan finalized by March 2022. That means the implementation and the operations will be done by a different implementer. And then the Waste Bureau then would focus on the objectives as they are outlined in the Waste Act, dealing with all the other waste streams that we have to deal with in the country. I think I'm done, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. Just to respond, I think Honourable Paulson had a question on how much is costing us with regards to the development of the plan, the Section 29 Industry Waste Management Plan by the CSIR. It's around 2.2 million that costs associated with the support from the CSIR. And then just to confirm that that plan would be finalized in this financial year. We've done informal consultations, but for this quarter, we will be finalizing with the legislated consultations through the publication in the Government Gazette. And Honorable Bryant also raised a concern around the prosecution linked to the illegal dumping. We do work with the municipalities on the ground through the compliance officers, the environmental management inspectors, EMIs, because the issue of littering, it's shared across the different spheres in terms of managing the nuisances under Section 27 of the Waste Act. So our compliance unit does work with the peace officers of the municipalities or the metros in terms of ensuring that a nuisance caused by illegal dumping of tires is attended to. I think that Dr. Baloyi attended to the cooperation now with municipalities in terms of supporting the storage of waste tires. I think the question that came through Honorable Bryant from Honorable Phillips on the banning of waste tires, the program of the micro collectors, because those are informal waste pickers, they are incentivized to bring in the waste tires. So in a way, that also discourages banning, because they know that they will be getting some incentive from the Waste Bureau when that is taken through the Waste Management Bureau system. I appreciate the comment from Honorable Mbata regarding the SMMEs. We do work with the National Regulator of Compulsory Specifications in relation to second-hand tires, because those are not regarded as waste. And because of the waste management hierarchy, a principle of prioritizing reuse, where the tires are safe, we would want them to be reused, as opposed to them joining the waste stream, because then it's not efficient in terms of use. I think, okay, Honorable Sin raised the issues of the water, wastewater issues from sewage works. To say, as the department, through our compliance monitoring, we work with the Department of Water and Sanitation, mainly because the wastewater is regulated through the National Water Act, which is administered by that department. However, because of the close links with the environment in totality, that's why there is that close relationship with the department. And also some of our policy work, especially linked to the plastics material, is also meant to benefit also so the ocean. So yes, we have implemented or published in May the 5th the amendments to the extended producer responsibility schemes for plastic packaging. Also we've prioritized that, but also some single use products that also include plastic products, given the challenges that are posed by these products on the environment. So with monitoring and also with the Bureau coming into the space after we sorted out the waste tires, we should be able to monitor closely the implementation of this EPR schemes, because they will now be mandatory as opposed to the voluntary few schemes that are currently in place. I would stop it there. Thank you, Chairperson and members.
Thank you, Chair. I think those are the responses. There's just one more issue, Chair and members. I think Honorable Mbatha raised around backyard industry that are mushrooming. I think that's an area of we need to look into improving compliance monitoring in as far as that is concerned, so that we avoid pollution, but also we avoid tires being utilized for other things that may cause air pollution. Chair. So I think we take note of Member Mbatha's concern, and I think as a department we will look into that matter. That is all from our side, Chair, on the responses. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Colleagues, may I check with honorable members if there are any other outstanding responses?
Chair, would I be able to just ask two quick follow-ups?
Certainly, honorable Bryant. Go ahead.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Just in terms of, you know, the funding model, in answer to Honorable Paulson's question, it was mentioned that the funding of the management comes, you know, a lot from funds derived from the industry levies and, you know, the tire levy. But I mean, this still, you know, only really makes sense if it's convenient for the tires to be disposed of. You know, you can go and raise the funds and you know, try and use those funds to manage the tires. But if people don't have places to properly dispose of those tires, it's going to be, you know, an ongoing issue. And I think the same goes for, you know, the incentives, these micro collectors. If you've got somebody you're trying to incentivize to go and collect tires, it doesn't matter how good your incentive is. If you take, for instance, the Cape Town CBD or the Cape Flats areas, Atlantis is about an hour's drive away. So, you know, you can give these guys an incentive, but nobody's going to go and, you know, drive an hour to go and dump tires in Atlantis and then bring them back. So this issue of getting the depots and, most importantly, the processing facilities up and running is vitally, vitally important, because at the end of the day, the people who suffer the most are the people who are living in the underprivileged areas where tires are being burnt on a regular basis, being inhaled. And you know, the tires being dumped into rivers and water catchment areas. So I really, really hope that this is given urgent priority, particularly in the Western Cape, not just because my constituency is here, but you know, because I've seen firsthand the ongoing issues, but also hopefully across the rest of the country. And I think that was it. Oh, and then just, sorry, there was no response in terms of what Honorable Phillips raised in terms of that Rustenburg facility. Can we just have some comment as to what's going on there? Because from what she's suggested, there's just a big hole in the ground. very little else going on. You know, what is the future of that site? Are we able to get any feedback on that? Thanks.
I take it that was the only comment from Honorable Bryant, DG and your team, so that we can now move. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to request the acting head to respond to these questions. I will add if there's a need. Especially around the Rustenburg facilities. Yeah. Over.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, honourable members. The first ones, honourable Bryant, I think we take note of your comments with regards to the processing prioritisation, and I think throughout our presentation we did indicate that's where. We have not necessarily have had capacity, and it is something that we are working on. So it is indeed something that we have prioritized. DG did talk about improving efficiencies. It's something that you're raising, Honorable Bryant, with regards to the issues of travel to the depot sites, and that will also obviously cover in the issues of where we put in our processing plants. So we have certainly prioritized those. The issue of Rustenburg, Honorable Chair, we will look into it. We will get an understanding. We'll work through with the provinces as well, the province of Northwest. And then we can provide a response in writing. We do not have the details currently. We will try to find out and we will then respond in writing. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. I guess that brings us to the end of the presentation by the department. We'll now go to the next item where we'll request the department to kindly excuse the meeting so that we deal with the minutes of the previous meeting.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you. We will provide the written response on the Rustenburg facility. Thank you, Chair.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Department.
Right. I want to believe that the department has excused us. Honorable members, now let's go to the item that we had shifted for a bit later. This is the draft minutes of the portfolio committee for the meeting held on the 11th of May 2021. We'll do as per practice, page by page. This is page one. Right, page two. page 3. Page 4. Can we get a hand that moves for the adoption of this minutes if they are a true reflection of what transpired in that meeting, honorable members?
Honorable Chair?
Honorable Ganjo?
Yeah, I move for the adoption of the minutes, Chair. They are the true reflection.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tancho. Thank you very much, Honorable Mbata. That brings us to the conclusion of the meeting. But before we close the meeting, colleagues, I know that we all know that a member of this portfolio committee has passed on. Honorable Mpoto Tongwani.
You are muted, Chair. I can't hear.
On Thursday. Am I audible now, colleagues?
Yes, you are now.
Yes, now, but you can start to tell because of character has to.
Oh, okay. No, I in a form of an announcement, I was speaking about the passing on of a member of the portfolio committee and a member of the study group of the ANC, Honorable Mpotongwani, announcing that she will be buried on Thursday in Kuruman, in a small village called Mokhojani, just outside Jomorolong municipality in Khasekhonyane. May her soul rest in peace. That is the only announcement that I have been given in terms of the portfolio committee. The funeral will be this Thursday in Mokhojani. I do not know if there are any other announcement, Chilega.
Nothing from my side, Chair.
All right. Ma'am Mbata.
Chair. Can we have a moment of silence for the late comrade, Honorable Mpotongwani, please? Thank you.
The moment of silence will start now. And may soul rest in peace.
Chairperson, may I just say from the Democratic Alliance's caucus, our sincere condolences to members of the ANC caucus on the loss and other members of the committee who were close with the honourable member. And we will obviously express our full condolences during the full sitting when it comes to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Brian. Perhaps we should do the same with all other parties that are here. Honorable Paulson.
Yes, Chairperson. Chairperson, as someone who's served with the Honorable Tongwane now for the second term, I've known her since the previous term. It is indeed a sad loss, and my condolences to the ANC caucus, to the family of Comrade Mpo Tongwane. She will be remembered in our prayers and in our thoughts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Paulson. I don't see Honorable Singh. I don't see Honorable Olomisa. Okay, then it means everybody else has had an opportunity. Honorable members, that brings us to the closure of this meeting. I want to thank you for having given me this responsibility. I also want to take this opportunity to thank load shedding. I pray that it persists in East London so that I can continue chairing this meeting, and the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
I owe you with a power hungry.
you're naughty with
politics of yours.